And now it's time for me to rise. The lyric utilizer, down like fertilizer, quick to improvise. The style, let me surprise. Your eyes is on the prize. We can go line for line, I ain't hard to find. But you break your spine, my mouth style reclines. I'm laid back, all that talk you need to say. That the payback is all the reason that I'm flexing. Bets rocking like we X-Men.
You want action, satisfaction. The brothers with the positive reaction. The crew with the style that's on top of the pie. J5's.
Hello and welcome to podcast episode number 55. I guess I should say it's I Want More Comics podcast. Episode 55. My name's Richie.
I'm Zach.
I'm amazed you guys keep up with which number this is.
Yeah.
It's awesome, because I never know. Or I really don't. I still think it's like 50.
I know you do.
But I'm glad it's 55, because, you know.
50, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
That's Sean. Sean. There you go. So with that, we're tired, so let's just move right into the news.
So basically, what we're going to talk about today in the news is that we're just going to talk about stuff here in store, because we had our Metal Midnight release event last night.
I remember it was a thing.
It was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're all very tired from it, but we had a great time, and we had good turnout for it.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely did, and thank you to those listening that came. We performed a live podcast,
yep.
So if you want to hear that, that's on Facebook. We couldn't turn the audio into a podcast episode, which we wanted to do. We just didn't have the equipment set up yet. So
yeah,
the only way you can listen to that live podcast is through Facebook. So find it on our Facebook page
at I Want More Comics.
And then yep. You tell them about the technical difficulties that we had with that.
We did have technical difficulties. Our audio kicked out. We had Scott Snyder on, and we kicked out immediately there.
But at that moment.
Of course it did.
Yes.
Because why wouldn't it?
Because that's how it works. But we did get the audio. It is on our Facebook page. You can listen to it.
Yeah, you did. I saw that you posted that up. Yeah. I just wanted to let people know that. So if they're watching it, it gets to that point, and they're like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Scott Snyder called us.
Get to see Zach and I, like, super happy and silent.
Yes.
Kind of like... laughing silently, like,
ha. Exactly. So if you have, like, some classical weird piano music, like in the old, you know, silent films, you could put that to it.
Just add to it, yes.
Absolutely. But it was a great event. We had around 50 people show up.
It was busy.
It was really busy. We wanted to, you know, we thought, oh, we'll open up at 11:30 and we'll close it down by 12:30. We were here till almost 1.
Uh-huh.
Just getting people through the line. We didn't leave till about 1:30, you know, after cleanup and all that. So that was really good. We sold out of almost everything metal.
Yeah.
That
it's
night.
It's all gone.
Yep.
Which
yep.
we really didn't expect
yeah.
at all. We do have more copies coming.
Yes.
So we should be able to restock at least.
Yeah, exactly. But we had a cake that was the cover to the Midnight cover.
Got decimated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had one of our customers, Lee. He's like, can I get into this cake? Yeah, go for it.
Lee was awesome.
And he just started pounding out cake at people.
Yeah, slinging cake to everybody. It was fantastic.
I was like, that's fantastic.
Hey, yeah. I just looked at him and was like, I ain't got to do that? Sweet.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Same here. We talked about DC. We talked about, we had a sale going on. That night as well, we did a raffle, which if you check our Facebook page,
yep.
you can see the... winners of the raffle.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll be coming in probably while we're doing this right now, but Ben,
yes.
179 here, he won the metal 1 in 100 variant, the big prize.
Congratulations.
He's a big winner. Like
he's the big winner.
Winner, not
That's
the ER
right.
winner.
Exactly.
He's a big winner!
Winner!
Exactly. So, it was a great time, and hopefully sometime in the future we can have another great midnight event like that.
Yeah, hopefully.
So just for the next couple minutes, I want to go through the usual stuff that we go through. A new addition now is that we have ramped up our own toy section. So,
that's
was weird the way you introduced that. I thought it was like a new addition to the family is a baby.
It's toys.
Baby toys.
No, wait.
So yeah,
toys for baby. No, they'll choke and die.
No.
So we
toys.
Have
toy
our we have our own
toys.
Section of toys.
Don't derail
that
so
we are continuing.
Especially through the news section.
Adding to and
just in his head.
Keep
you see the guy, like, shoveling coal
and keep getting newer things too. So if you have toys and you want to sell them,
or if you want to add to your toys,
or if you want to buy some toys
you can buy.
We're going to specialize in like Marvel, DC. We have Sideshow statues now. Star Wars is also a big thing. Transformers is what we're getting into as well.
You know, I heard about this Transformers.
They're more than meets the eye.
That's what I heard.
More than meets the eye.
That's right.
Are you guys too tired for this?
Our brains are so fried.
I know.
And I'm still like, I'm tired all the time, so this is me normally.
I'm a little draggy.
I had to do a podcast for an hour and a half.
Now we're doing another one.
You know, that's quitter talk, sir.
I know, Richie today's like, you know, we could do like a half an hour one. And I'm like, no, we're doing a full hour.
He goes, muzzle through.
He goes, okay, I guess.
I'll tell you, I was so scared when you guys left me. And I was like,
what, last night?
Yeah, last night that's when you guys awesome. Left, I was like,
no, you just start doing interviews, bro.
Oh, I know. I so desperately was like, please sit down with me.
People like talking.
Yes, exactly. And I really enjoyed their point of views.
It was good.
But it scared me. I was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to chat.
Start
dancing, so, monkey.
So bring the background. If you have toys that you want to sell, anything that you want to... bring into the shop. We are making offers and we are taking a look at stuff like that.
Sorry about that, Zach.
He's kind of got like a weird autistic one-track mind.
Anyway.
He's our local Rain Man. It's amazing.
Back to toys.
So anyway, back to toys.
Because we have things we have to get to here.
You know what also you can make dance? Toys.
Toys. Exactly right.
So that's great. I think that's an excellent addition. People now can get comic books, board games, toys, pretty much anything, and of course you
possibly even hope.
There's little that here, but you can find it. You just have to dig back in the shelves.
You can find it in your stories.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna have to really dig back into the back issues for that.
Absolutely. we also do book clubs.
That's right.
We have a manga book club and a regular comic book club. We meet on the third and fourth Thursday of a month. Mm-hmm. Typically the last and the second to last.
Yep.
And the third?
The third is...
The second to last is which book club?
The manga.
And the fourth is which one?
Regular books.
Comic books.
He's going to sneeze.
Bless you.
He's derailed himself.
Yes. I did derail myself.
That was his brain. He actually couldn't like handle it.
Exactly.
He was, like, messing it up and his
brain exploded out of his face. Like,
so, of course, in the manga book club right now, we are going through Dragon Ball, the entire saga. We are on the 3-in-1 volume number 2. And then in the comic book regular club, we are doing Dark Knights, a true Batman story by Paul Dini.
Paul Dini.
Which is going to be a lot of fun. We are sold out of the copies right now, but we have more coming.
Good.
Yes. We also do a stream sale on Facebook every Wednesday night and Friday night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Mountain Time. And it's very simple. Just check it out. You can see the ones we've done in the past if you go on Facebook. You just put in the comments below if you'd like to buy something. And we ship them. We do local pickup. We just try and get comics into your hands.
Absolutely.
So.
The easiest, most unique way to get comic books into your hand, just looking at your phone or your tablet and saying, I want that, and we get it for you.
Absolutely. We also have a Twitter, so if you're on Twitter, check that out. We have an Instagram. We have a website. We also do a lot of board gaming, so you can also check out the Magic and Gaming Facebook page as well for any kind of events or anything going on in that realm.
Excellent.
So, yeah, there you go.
You got through it.
I mean, okay. So, that was excellent. So, why don't we move right into our pick of the week?
The other excellent.
Excelente. Excelente.
Muy excelente.
There you go.
Excellent.
Muy caliente.
So, usually we have picks of the week, but obviously... This week, Zach actually laughed at me because I was looking last week to see what I was going to pick, and he was like, that's hilarious. And I was like, oh, why? And I hit it. I was like, duh. So I think I spaced it because it's been gone for so long in this comic shop.
Yes.
We have a pick of the week. No. We can still find that in the back issues.
Yeah, I think you can find it.
Along with Faith, you can find hope here.
Those are both two titles, actually. That's right.
Yeah. So, why don't we tell the people what I'll tell you what I picked, then you tell me what you picked, and then Sean can tell us what you picked.
Excellent. What did you pick?
I picked Mr. Miracle.
Excellent.
What did you pick?
I picked Mr. Miracle.
That's odd. What did you pick?
The Mr. Miracle variant.
Ooh. I did take home the variant, but...
the variant was nice. So, yeah, this is going to be another time where we had a unanimous pick of the week.
Sean, who's the writer of that?
I don't know.
You do? What's his name?
I've never heard of him.
Just say his name. I need
Come on.
Who
the rest
it?
Of this podcast is trying to...
Alan Moore?
No.
Jack Kirby?
Nope, you're not even close. You're not, like, in the realm.
You're so off.
I don't know. I never heard of this guy.
You
What's
did.
His name
you
again?
Did. His name is Tom King.
Tom King, the
Tom
writer.
Tom King wrote this book.
Yeah, and art by Mitch Gerard.
I think he phoned it in.
I don't think so.
No.
The setups to this story, I think... All you have to do is, like, flip the page.
Yes.
And you're in. Right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I did that. People, when they were looking at the book, they're like, is this Mr. Miracle going to be kind of cool? You know, I don't know about much Mr. Miracle or whatever. Right. And I said, well, look at the first page. They went, okay. And I'll tell you right now, we could do this. The very first page of the book is you see Mr. Miracle. It's a headshot. Yeah. You know, just a full page spread, one page of his. And you're like, okay, and he's talking.
Yeah.
You're going, okay, cool. And then you turn the page, and he's in a bathroom with his wrist cut.
Yep, his wrist.
And he's singing that Elton John song, I think I'm going to kill myself today.
Well, I think it was Someone Saved My Life Tonight.
But oh, wait, whatever.
They're a little opposite.
But, it was the same song, right?
Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. But that's the second page of the book.
Yeah.
And you go, whoa, what is this? Yes. And you are...
And so that, I will say that I understand out there that it's actually a difficult book to find because...
Yes.
Nobody ordered it.
Well, yeah, it's a hard book to order on the comic book end because it's like, we know how good Tom King is.
Yes.
Well, we just don't know...
Well, in DC this year, they've absolutely been ramping up because it's technically Jack Kirby's 100th birthday this year.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they've been
so
doing
they've done
issues.
A bunch of little one-shots, and then they decided to do this series. And, you know, like you said, Tom King wrote it.
Yeah.
And I think he's finally starting to get... recognized.
A little bit of heat, yeah.
And he's starting to pick up and be one of those writers, like a Scott Snyder or something like that. He's not quite there yet at that level,
but
he's building momentum for sure.
Well, that the Batman Elmer Fudd one shot is continuing. Well, because it's really funny. The Batman Elmer Fudd, the vision that he did for Marvel really made people go, oh, this guy's pretty good.
Right. I think that's where DC was like, hey,
yes,
we'll take that.
Exactly.
That's fine.
And then,
that looks really nice.
Exactly. Then he's been doing the Batman, which if you're not Batman fans have been enjoying it, and he's been trudging along there.
I would argue that DC gave him a little leeway in Grayson. Not a ton of people were following Grayson. And he was kind of, for me, he set up the concept that he's a long-term writer. You know?
Yes.
Except for when Elmer Fudd came out, then he punched you in the face.
Well,
and I was
like,
okay, whatever. I have no idea what he's doing.
Yes. Well, and then that's the thing is that what I noticed just here at the store is Batman Elmer Fudd came out. Everyone loved it. And they said, oh, is his Batman good? And a lot more people jumped into Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, that's good as well. And then a new Mr. Miracle came out, and everyone said, I gotta try this.
Well, not only that, but you also have to kind of figure in the fact that he really took a risk by, you know, doing an arc with Joker and Riddler. I mean, that's going to be a tough sell no matter what.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, so a lot of people...
But going back to your original point, it's a Mr. Miracle book.
Yeah.
And if you are a fan like Sean and I are of the Jack Kirby stuff, you go, he gets his own book, even if it's a miniseries, cool, we'll check it out.
I was on board immediately.
Yeah, it doesn't... right. I mean, but then when you saw that he's doing what all... great comics do is that he's doing something new with the characters and the storytelling, but he's not.
But you recognize all the beats.
Yeah, and you're not getting rid of the history. This isn't like, oh, we get rid of all the Jack Kirby stuff because that stuff's too old or wacky and we're just going to make it edgy or something. No, he's adding some edginess, something you've never seen before, but he still has the new gods and the mythology and Orion in there and all that great stuff. So,
yeah, it's like a kite. It's a great story floating in the wind, held by the standards of which you know,
yes.
of the, you know, the base of reality there.
Hell yeah.
Some of the things you come up with sometimes.
Hell yeah.
I just
I do have to say I gotta bring
Twinkie
it up.
Twinkie pizza was a
yes, I gotta bring it
I
up here.
No, no.
That's, people love Twinkie pizza.
Twinkie pizza's a hit.
So we should probably start drug testing our employees.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Because that's the only way you come up with something like Twinkie pizza.
Twinkie pizza's a fantastic.
You take a bite of this Twinkie and then it opens up into a pizza. What the hell?
I'm sorry, but
about?
If you take a bite in a Twinkie and there's a pizza inside your loot, that's your day. You're fantastic.
You're on heroin.
No.
Actually.
And then if you bite into that pizza and you get a donut, come on.
You know,
kid.
The other day for the first time I had a McGriddle.
Yeah.
It's like it's a pancake, but it's like a breakfast sandwich. That right. blew my mind. So I'm, yeah, I'm there with you. I'm there with you.
You just got to take this
no.
ride.
So. You're both fired.
So Mitch Gerards, he did art over at Marvel with the Punisher couple years ago. Most recently, he did Sheriff of Babylon.
Yes.
With Tom King, which was a Vertigo book. And then they decided to bring him over for Mr. Miracle. And his artwork is... I think it's very good, but
it can
not,
be a little muddy.
Yeah, but it's not. But when I say it's good, you know, when you say oh it's good artwork, you're like oh this is like Jim Lee.
Well,
or
no,
Ike
here's
Rice
the thing: is,
or
it, is
like
it,
that.
So artwork for me just kind of has to fit with whatever the
it
story
is,
feels.
Yes.
Does it fit with the story? That's the big
question. Yes, that it does.
I'm not a John Romita Jr. fan, but his art for Spider-Man back in the day fits Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like so it's that kind of idea.
That one variant for Metal from this week where Mongol is punching Superman and everything's like exploding.
Yeah.
He's great for that.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
And yeah, so I agree with you that this artwork I thought was fantastic for the story.
Yes.
And that
it's not sexy though.
It is not. It's very grit. It's,
yes.
It's rough, and I like that because I feel like the story itself is very rough.
Yes.
The concepts behind it. I see Miracle Man kind of like putting on a facade, but the reality is something very darker.
Yeah. Yeah, basically kind of the premise is, you know, what is the one thing that Mr. Miracle has never escaped?
We're talking about the greatest escape artist of all.
He's
know,
escaped from Apocalypse. He's escaped from just, you know, Darkseid and Batman. I mean, you know, just go through continuity.
So what is the toughest thing to escape from? Well, I mean, death, right?
Death, yep. So, very interesting. Just one issue's come out.
Yeah.
Like you said, if
it is
you...
is set up.
Yeah, it's a setup. But if you see it anywhere, buy it. If you find an actual physical copy, just buy it, because it has been one of the hardest things to get.
When you guys read it, did that... I don't want to give it away, but the one symbol that keeps reoccurring, you know what I'm talking about?
Not off the top of my head.
It's a phrase that keeps repeating itself.
Was it the dark side?
That blew... Like, it bugged the crap out of me at the beginning. I was like, come on. Come on, come on. And then as I was going through the comic, I'm like, oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
So I really dug that.
Okay,
yeah.
It's like a, you know, like a ramping up
locomotive.
Well, I really dug that.
Well, and that's the thing is that, I guess this is part of DC's new initiative where they want to do miniseries and maxi-series, and they want to... they're not saying that they're going to do the next Dark Knight Returns or the next Watchmen, but they're saying that there hasn't been that... there hasn't been that avenue for a while.
Right.
Of having a creator, two creators, do a book, do something unique with it, and see what happens. And if it is great, and it makes people go, this is one of the coolest comics in decades, great.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then you get a cool little miniseries. But you need to have that avenue.
Yeah.
And for a long time, it's just been tied to, you know, what sells, what's going, oh, here's a Harley miniseries, here's a Batman miniseries, because
no one's
that's
pitching
what's going
Mr.
on.
Miracle as like a drop, well, okay, so give me your money kind of series.
Here's how the first opening sequences of this book, or like this first issue, not opening sequences, but this first issue, it kind of gave me the same feeling the first time I watched the opening scenes and the opening part of Requiem for a Dream, honestly.
Oh, that's a good pull.
Yeah.
So weirdly, and this is going to be a weird connection.
Yeah.
But I don't know if any of you have been so sleep deprived that you've hallucinated.
Right.
I've definitely been there in my life a few times because there was a point in my life when I worked a lot.
Yeah.
And I would work so much that I would get seriously 2 hours of sleep a night. And it would get to the point where after a week of that, I would start seeing stuff. And I would start thinking in abstracts. And the first time I saw Requiem for a Dream, and they start, especially the mother scenes,
right,
where she's kind of doped up, and because you know the whole movie is all jacked up, and
oh yeah, it's all.
But she starts seeing the refrigerator move, and she starts questioning everything around her, and she's like, kind of introspective, but not.
Yeah,
this is kind of what it feels like to me. The first issue felt like that to me.
Right.
And maybe it didn't feel like that way to you guys.
No, that's a great...
But it very much felt like that to me. So if anybody's seen that movie... Yeah.
That's,
And I'm not talking about the crazy, weird, you know...
That got a real...
Sex scenes for drugs kind of stuff part of it. That's not part of that at all.
But you're saying the uneasiness of not knowing what's going on.
Yes, it's the uneasiness, but there's always something there, and it's tickling up the back of your spine, and... Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect way to describe it, because this is a different sort of comic book. It's not...
Funny thing is I forgot the name of the movie, so it took me a minute here to sit here in my phone and look up. I was like, oh God, what is the name of this movie?
That's really funny.
Oh, who is in it? Oh, yeah, Angel Face from Fight Club. Oh, what's his name? I have to go... Oh, my God, I'm old.
Yeah, that feeling came over me when he was...
especially
where
the parts
like,
where you're talking about the phrase that keeps coming up.
Where he goes, you know, I escaped death. It was a stunt, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, did you? And like I was like, ugh.
Oh yeah, yeah. I
mean, and it's all
when he's on the talk
stuff.
Show
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is that it's like a, and Tom King again just takes stuff where you know, in the 80s the new gods and stuff were.
Speaking of which, if you guys haven't listened to, I had Bryce on the podcast, the live podcast, and him and I went Tom King versus Scott Snyder.
Oh no!
You guys gonna do a knife fight?
You should listen to that bit. It's pretty interesting.
Wow!
Yeah, I love Bryce's take on Tom King. It's great. It's so... I just...
Is it
Bryce, you're my favorite. You know it. I could argue with him all day.
That's really
cool. Oh, yeah. I do every time he's in here.
Right. It's
just because.
Yeah.
Even if I agree with him.
That's really
absolutely.
Funny.
You know what? I have to take another stance. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I agree with you, but we're going to fight here.
Yeah. So, if like I said... if you can find this book anywhere, pick it up.
If you find the second print,
yes.
Pick it up. This is, again, Tom King has created a story that you just need to read. It doesn't matter. If you can eventually get the first print, go
sweet.
For it. But you should absolutely have this comic
jump
in your collection.
Jump in now.
Yeah.
We're telling you right now.
Jump in now.
Yeah, we're telling you, jump in now. Don't be if you want to be the person a year from now who buys the trade, cool.
Right.
But if you want the issues... Don't wait till issue 8 or something.
Right. Because
these are going to be sold out every time they come out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I know we're upping our orders, but I think that it's just going to keep getting more and more popular as the series goes on.
I agree with that 100%.
So,
all right.
Mr. Well, Miracle, number one.
Number one. That is our group pick.
Dun, dun.
All right. Good luck getting a hold of it.
Requiem
we'll do our best
for
to try
Mr.
to get
Miracle.
To you.
That's right.
All right. With that, I think we'll go ahead and spin the racks.
Spinning the racks.
Spinning the racks. And we will discuss
a spotlight.
Yeah, we're gonna do a spotlight on a favorite creator of all of ours.
Yes.
And I mean mostly likely a few of you as well.
Exactly. We've mentioned
or you don't like him at all.
Or you don't like him at all.
There is that group as well.
We've mentioned him many times on the podcast. We've brought up his stuff a ton of times, but we haven't sat down and done just a quick overview of the great, the crazy, Grant Morrison.
That's right. Now, we did kind of like a spotlight on our favorite writers or favorite stories, and that's where you've heard Morrison before, but this is more of a breakdown of why this creator in particular is someone that's important to us and why we look forward to certain things. Some things you might have done wrong, some things we could have gone with him on and can't. But it's more of a focus, kind of like how we discuss comic books, but we also do spotlights on after death, like we did
last
week's podcast. So
and I will, I guess I want to start it off with just saying, we all like a lot of his stuff.
Yeah.
But, if you had to pick one, what would be your, what Grant Morrison thinks?
That's easy.
Oof.
That's easy.
I know it's
easy.
That's easy.
Good go. I'm going to think.
Flex Mentallo.
Oh, yes.
Always
and forever. I should have known that. Yes.
That is one of the earliest works he did, but it was to me, it's one of the most poignant and strongest stories he's ever written, and it's only 4 issues long.
That's correct.
It's excellent.
Yep.
And you're in the same boat?
It absolutely deals with a very personal subject for him.
Right.
It deals with the
death
of his
father.
Yep. And how he actualizes heroes into his own mind. So...
This
is kind of why I like Paul Dini's story as well. right. where they take like their perspective. But
if you don't really read into the subtext of that book, you're not going to get that. I've had so many people. I ask them, you know, I have them read it and ask them, well, what did you get out of it?
Right.
And then when I tell them what I got out of it, they're like, I didn't even think about that.
I got to cheat because you had told me all about Fox Mentality before I ever picked up the book, so I was like reading it in that perspective.
And you're like, oh my god.
Funny enough, we were just talking about it. He was in collaboration with other people, but I really love his stuff in 52.
Okay.
I think that he was, in fact, I think he was the top two for me, of course, in that run. You had Jeff Johns, Grant Morrison, Mark Waid, Greg Rucka, and I loved all of them, and I loved the entire series. Mm-hmm. But the Jeff Johns stuff and the Grant Morrison stuff, you could tell when they were writing it, and I just loved it. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite parts of the whole series is when dolphin people hire Lobo to go kill other people, and he kills all the dolphin people. And that was total Grant Morrison just being just insane, and it was fantastic. So, I mean, I'm with y'all. There's so much that I do love, but if, you know, I love the 52 stuff. I thought that his stuff there was great.
That is a good pull. I will say that We Three took me by surprise. I hadn't read it before.
It's got the feels.
Yeah. My Morrison is a more simplistic storyline, but I've got to throw in his Batman run in which he introduced the son of Batman.
Damian. See, that's hilarious to me because that's my absolute least favorite thing he's ever done.
I figured it would be, but the thing about it to me is that he built a character. I will say that the time frame was really extended, you know?
Well,
I
feel 10 years?
Yeah, 10 years is a long time to tell a story in any facet, but the creation of Damian to take it full circle to his death, I enjoyed. I have already told you about how I really like Bat God, and I think Morrison finds that as well. He finds him sleek and sexy, as he says, and a dark entity which we can't control.
Yeah.
And he created that with Batman Inc. He got to show that by creating a bunch of Batman that needed this godlike entity to fall upon them to help them in certain situations that they couldn't handle. And I enjoyed that.
And to me, that the Batman one was very much Morrison coping with the way he looks at religion. And how everything exists at all the same moments at the same time.
While I was reading.
Very much so I had that, because that's... If you ever listen to the guy talk, then think about what he did with Batman.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I was going to bring up next for Grant Morrison, is that the thing that I always get from a Grant Morrison comic book, everything I've written down here on this list, anything we were going to talk about here tonight, and like Sean says, whether you love it or you don't like it.
Right.
The point is, with a Grant Morrison comic, he never phones in a comic book.
No.
Grant Morrison is someone who, you know, just like in the tradition of Alan Moore, but Alan Moore gets a little too wacky, but Grant Morrison thinks about it all on different sorts of planes. He is not just going...
Well, and a lot of it... So a lot of the stories that he writes, if you go back and if you ever study any of Grant Morrison's history, they follow... If you put in context of when the story was told and what he was doing at that point in his life, it very much follows what he's doing at that point in his life.
Right.
He just put it into comic book form.
Yep.
And some of the stuff is really high-handed, you know, heavy concepts. Yeah. And some of it's a little bit more lighthearted, but a lot of the time there's the different layers of the story that you really got to look at.
I'm going to need help pulling the comic book company out of my ass, but I listened to him in San Diego 2 years ago for 75th Batman anniversary.
Uh-huh.
And he was discussing how he was kind of done with superhero comics at the time. And he was very frustrated because of our nation's infatuation with disease. Okay. He was bringing up the Walking Filth. Dead. The Strain was a really popular at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, it's just all decay and being lost in society and not able to do anything. So we picture a post-apocalyptic where we can gain control again and push ourselves outward. and be in charge of our own decisions because we're so lost now. We're all stuck in disease and decay. And he went to foreign country and worked with this publishing company that
it used to be Virgin.
Oh, I think that might be right, because
originally they were, all the stuff was published by Virgin, and it's all of the Indian gods.
Yeah, yeah. Asked a bunch of
Virgin doesn't produce it now. I can't remember who it is.
Yeah, like what they thought a superhero was. So they like, that was the clip of all these girls explaining what a superhero would be, and it'd be like shelter, food, and things like that. And he's like, you lose the core concept of that. And so that's why he worked on this project with them to create this Indian god, which was strong, because he also had a discussion about Wonder Woman and how, like, he was a fan of Wonder Woman, but he doesn't quite understand why she has to be manly to be powerful. Mm. Like, why she has to, like, Amazonians have to be, like manly built and with a manly aggression to be...
It's actually Graphic India now.
There it is.
There it is.
It used to be Virgin. Virgin was the one who originally published these.
Okay.
This was years ago.
Yeah.
And then Virgin went out of... division disappeared. So he took 18 days, and he took... Because he originally did this as, like, an oversized hardcover to kind of introduce the character.
Yep.
Right.
And then he started doing the comic through Graphic India. And he's done a few different titles through Graphic India that are basically Indian gods.
Right, but that goes to your point of him...
Because it was originally Deepak Chopra. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's him kind of processing, like, you know, where his head at is in the moment, and that's what kind of drives him to what his next project is going to be.
Sure.
Because he had just gotten off of Multiversity.
Sure.
At this point.
Yeah.
So I was really, like, weirded out that he said he was done with Heroes, because I read Multiversity, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
You are? Because...
Well, yeah, I get the feeling that he'll be back sooner rather than later.
I think he's already been...
currently, he's actually the executive editor at Heavy Metal.
Yeah, but I get the feeling that when they announce some new set of Rebirth books, JSA, Legion, whatever, that he may be one of them, because he loves DC superheroes as well.
Well, and I think you and I have been discussed a few times.
What he grew up reading.
Yeah,
right. And I think that you and I have discussed a few times that they're kind of refocusing those two, especially in Superman, on the Hope aspect.
Yes,
I think that Hope might bring him back into the fold anyway.
Well, yeah,
exactly. I don't know if he's going to be a huge fan of, like, the Dark Universe or anything like that. But sure. I think that the other direction he would be okay with.
Sure. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, is that he never. All his books, most of them, like, we're talking about the superhero stuff. If you read the superhero stuff, there's so much going on there. Sometimes you can just read it and it's a cool Justice League story.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of times, as Sean was saying, you hear interviews or you watch something with
there's
him, and
so
he,
much more
and
going
he goes,
on.
And he goes, and he goes, you know, this whole book is about life, death, and the birth of a child. And you're like, this is just Superman beating up this Martian.
Right.
And he explains it to you. And if you open up your mind to that...
All-Star Superman, right?
Well, All-Star Superman, All-Star Superman was fantastic, because he wanted to show people that Superman was just like everybody else.
Right.
And there's a documentary out there that both Sean and I own and have watched.
Talking Gods,
which is fantastic.
There's two versions of it too.
Oh yeah,
because they came back with an updated version with more stuff.
It's fantastic. If you're interested in Grant Morrison, highly recommend it. But one of the stories he tells in there was that
All-Star Superman.
Yeah, him
saw the guy that was dressed like Superman
at San Diego Comic Con.
It was like 2010
or something like that.
Uh-huh. He saw him and he went over and started talking to him.
Right.
And the guy just acted
in
like
character.
He was Superman in character the entire time. Never broke character.
And he basically interviewed him. Yeah, he was sitting on a rock.
That's how he got the idea for the story.
For the All-Star
Yeah, he was sitting on a rock, just like he kind of was in the first, you know, that iconic scene of Superman just sitting there.
Right.
Kind of slouched over. He was sitting there.
First cover.
Yeah,
for the first cover. And he just started asking him questions. And if you haven't read All-Star Batman, it's about Superman contracting a disease, whatever you want to say, cancer, whatever, and is going to die.
The HIV.
And how does he deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
So there's always something going on with his stuff, no matter what
it is. So I think it's interesting that early in his career, He actually, because he was, I think he was working for, was it 2000 AD?
2000 AD, yeah.
He actually pitched a Miracle Man story to Alan Moore.
Uh-huh.
And he said, hey, I really love your work on this. I have a really great idea for a story. Can we do this? Can I do this? And the response he got from Alan Moore was a cease and desist letter.
Yeah.
Alan Moore straight up shut him down because he had already handpicked Neil Gaiman to hand the book
off to. Mm. Yeah, Grant Morrison. That's one of the funny things.
Can you just not picture that 1,000,000% with Alan Moore?
That's one of the things that I find really funny is that, you know, the titans of the comic book world.
Yeah.
A lot of them, you know, like each other. Like Neil Gaiman and Grant Morrison are friends and they've talked. Grant Morrison does not like Alan Moore at all.
Right.
Alan Moore doesn't like anybody. So
he doesn't. He doesn't. But I'm saying is that Grant Morrison.
Alan Moore doesn't, I don't think, like Alan Moore.
He
likes Alan Moore at the moment, in the current moment, but like, he never likes Tuesday's Alan Moore. Like, that was yesterday's Alan Moore. I hate that guy.
Absolutely.
I've grown so much.
Evolved past that.
And again, we're just going to do some highlights here because if you have not read any Grant Morrison stuff and you're saying,
this is where we pitch everything you should be reading.
Exactly. This is kind of where we pitch everything.
Well, obviously the first three we mentioned.
The first three we mentioned.
Including
that's why
All-Star Superman. I guess that's four.
All-Star Superman's really good. I think that when we're talking about his earlier work, my personal favorite is going to be Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
It's about the same time he was writing Animal Man.
Yeah, exactly. Roughly. Yeah, it's like Arkham Asylum, Doom Patrol.
And Arkham Asylum is what made him his first million.
That was what made him.
That's what made him have enough money where he could just travel and write comics. That's all he did. And take copious amounts of drugs.
Yes.
Yeah. He said in that interview that they called him up after the first Wednesday of Arkham Asylum.
Right.
And they said...
Yeah, Karen Berger said, and you're a millionaire.
You're a millionaire now. because he got because if I remember correctly, he said that he got $1 for every book that was sold.
Right.
And so they're like, well, you're a millionaire. But out of those three, you know, those were the beginnings of people noticing him.
Yeah.
I enjoyed all of them, but Doom Patrol for me is so... And it ties in with Flex Mentallo. That's where Flex Mentallo...
Popped out of. Well, and Flex Mentallo is the representation of his father.
Yes.
Because if you ever see a picture of his dad and you see what Flex Mentallo looks like, it is straight up the same dude.
Pretty much. But there is crazy stuff going there. When you hear the jokes in comic shops and with those comic book fans, haha, Grant Morrison's a crazy dude. That book, you go, there are dogs that smell through time.
Yeah.
So when that stuff happens, it's just like crazy.
When the entire really group gets sucked into a painting.
Yes.
Yep.
It's great.
Yeah, I don't know how to it's just so...
You gotta read it.
Yeah, you just have to drive into it.
His stuff is something that...
You'll read it, and then you have to read it again.
You have to read again.
You will get multiple passes through his works because you will not catch everything the first time around.
Exactly.
So the biggest high concept book that he wrote for me, was Invisibles.
Oh, yeah.
That spawned The Matrix.
Yes, he sued The Matrix folks back in the 90s because it kind of has to do with that same what is reality.
And what is not. Where do we actually exist? Is this your real reality? It was very much a book like that.
Right. Yes, and that book was when he was, as Sean was saying, going around the country and the world.
He was experiencing life.
Yes. Experiencing life.
In an altered state.
States. Yes. like going to the Arizona desert and going to the edges of the universe with space aliens.
Yeah, he went to...
Fantastic.
I can't remember. It was Fat Man on Batman that I was listening to.
Yeah.
Talked about, like, finding a monk space and having to actually, like, legit take the water cups up the stairs to live in this space for 3 days or something, and, like, gave him a liquid, and that liquid would melt the walls, and that's where he talked to God. And realize that humanity was like a thing we can throw away and move past.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. He's one of the ones who said that we are all one being, viewing each other subjectively.
Right.
So.
And you can live in this moment again through all time.
Exactly.
We can always return to here.
Yes. Exactly. Well, that's what he told you when you met him, right?
Yeah.
When you got to
when we were at Morrison Con, and he's like, you never have to leave this moment. We can all remain here forever in this moment.
Kishon, didn't you say something like, oh, I wish I could have met you earlier or something? Didn't you say, you know, I wish I could have met you earlier or something?
Yeah,
or?
But, oh, I mean, I met him when I met him. And the biggest question I have for him is if I was correct on my assumptions of what Flex Mentallo was. And you told me I was spot on. So that made me, like, like a schoolgirl.
Yes.
What the fuck?
Well, because sometimes, you know, you read into this stuff, and then, like, you get your guys' perception of stuff, you'll explain stuff, and then I'll have a different, like, AD.
Yeah.
When we talked about that, yeah, AD is
very different.
I said,
both
I took this very much differently because, well, and part of it could just be age of where I'm at in my life, too.
Totally.
Sure. So, but, you know, that's so with different viewpoints on stories, you're going to take things differently.
That's
and I just want to make sure.
Scott Snyder, when we had him. Like, is Sean wrong or are we right?
Oh, that's true. That's true. Hey, excuse me.
I know you're selling metal, but...
And I know that every, not only do we have 50 people in here wanting to hear you talk about
it. We want
to
have a knife fight.
We want to talk about AD after death, actually. He also got really popular in the 90s when he took over Justice League of America, which he did with Howard Porter and some other folks for a little while.
It wasn't at the time. That was after he had kind of cleaned up.
Yeah,
yes. And because The Filth was him going through.
Filth,
he wrote The Filth. It was a 12-issue miniseries, and it was seriously about him detoxing.
Yes.
That's what the whole story was really about.
Yes, and if you want to hear the...
And that is some really...
Yeah, if you want to hear the actual nitty... Shit. You want to hear the actual nitty-gritty of that, check out that Talking Gods documentary.
Yeah.
Because he goes into the depth...
He went pretty in-depth of what...
About what was going on.
That Filth is definitely one I read, and I was like, this is some depressing, kind of really... Yes. Sad shit.
Well, and that's one thing I want to emphasize right now is, you know, we're putting out a lot of these books. We're talking about Grant Morrison. One of the biggest things, the many years I've been selling comic books, is we say we love Animal Man, we love Doom Patrol, we love All-Star Batman, or I mean Superman, whatever it is. And somebody comes back and they say, I didn't like it, I didn't understand it, you know. And one thing I've found with Grant Morrison is, like Sean was saying, when you read all of his stuff or a handful of stuff, you're going to get different things from all of them. He is not a writer that continually is, like Jeff Johns or Scott Snyder, we know what to expect from them. We go, I want the core concept of the character to be awesome and to be re-energized. That's what Jeff Johns does. Right. And every time he writes a comic book, no matter who it is, Green Lantern, Flash, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Grant Morrison, the only thing he does is that he's going to do something super in-depth, and he's going to try and do something unique. That's the only thing he does consistently.
Yes.
It's not a, sometimes he's funny, sometimes he's weird, sometimes he's upsetting. It's not the same. So some people go, I hate this, but I love this. And that can happen with him.
Absolutely. I think that he, like how we said about Tom King, how he has like that solid... base and the kite flies with Morrison. You just let go of that kite and see where the heck it goes.
You're going to be on a trip.
Yeah, he's going to challenge your concept.
No matter what you're reading, you're taking a ride somewhere.
Yeah, because there were a couple things even in his Batman run where I have these ideas about my perspective of what Batman is and can and cannot do, and he challenged all of them. You know? And he's pretty unapologetic about it.
Yep.
For the most part, I agree with him. We've already... told you our favorite quote about his discussion about when people asked him the age of Batman.
Yes,
and
no
Robin.
Stories. How old is Batman?
And he was like, they're 75. There you go.
And Robin is 74.
Yes. That was after 10 minutes of explaining why can't you let go of base concepts like age and character when they're just stories?
When they're just stories,
That kids, when they watch The Little Mermaid, they don't go running around on a beach going, you know, there's a talking crab.
They know that they understand the differences.
They understand that it's, you know, make-believe. Some of the other things that he did, of course, is going to be Seven Soldiers.
Yes.
Well, like you said, Justice League of the JLA book. He's the one who introduced the concept of Batman having basically contingency plans for everybody.
He's the one who,
right.
Yep.
He's the one who, which is a very popular thing in that has been with
Tower
Batman
of Babel,
for a while.
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh, yeah. He's done.
People have kept that.
Oh, yeah. They held on to that and said, oh, Batman's
that's a great
bastard.
Idea. Yeah. No, they locked that in.
the book that finally. Kind of switched me to some of his superhero stuff was Final Crisis, when I first read it when it was coming out, I was like a lot of people.
Final Crisis is really good. Yeah.
And I went. I don't get it. You know, I don't understand why. And Sean and our friend Jason were reading it, and they were like giddy schoolgirls. And I was like, I don't get this. Then they said, well, you got to read the New Gods stuff.
Unfortunately, if you've read New Gods for Final Crisis, a lot of it makes a hell of a lot more sense.
Once you read it. And you go back
because that's all the source material for that book.
Morrison is the DCU of movies,
kind of.
If you know it, you're gonna love it.
Yep. And then also hearing him explain through interviews, hearing him explain what he was trying to do with that series, and then reading it with that knowledge, that really it sent it from a okay whatever to a this is fantastic.
Right.
So there is some homework usually with Grant Morrison, and that doesn't mean you have to like look stuff up and read history reports, but with his stuff, whether it's internally,
you know a little bit of the backstory of where it came from, you're going to get more out of it for sure.
Every time,
yes.
And I so the next one I want to talk about, because we've talked about it once or twice before, but Multiversity.
Yes.
Is a big book that I love really enjoy. I just read it.
Here's a funny thing.
Again, yeah.
It's one of the only Morrison books I've never read.
I read it again because we were talking about it.
I loved it.
And
a lot of people were really, because that's getting him going crazy.
Yeah, he lost his mind on it. He just went for it. They kind of gave him free reign because New 52.
No, it's the concepts of all the different DC worlds, all that kind of stuff, but then you're also part of the DC world. You, the reader.
Yeah.
You are part of
we
this.
Are
just
in
so
that
you
universe,
know,
yes.
You actually are part of
the
DC
universe. And
the
reason
as well.
Why the DC universe exists and flows, which is in reality, this is true, is because we're reading it. So because
so
we're
we
reading
are the
it,
ones who actualize these heroes into existence. Right, hence all the way back to Flex Mentallo.
Exactly. And in the very first issue of Multiversity, when the villain or the evil goes. When the evil goes, hey, I'm going to...
Stop right now.
Yeah, because if you continue reading, the ideas that are in these pages are going to come true, and they're going to hurt your brain, and you're going to be part of the evil. You're the bad guy here. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Man, it's great.
It's so great. Picking up a comic book and the very first page challenges you not to buy any of the other comic books. She says, stop right here and you're going to be the hero.
Exactly.
If you keep going, you're
apparently
actually
the
villain.
Apparently I was the hero. Because I only read the first one.
Yes. But and that one had some great art on it. Him establishing the new Multiversity,
which
for
they
the
are
DC
now
universe.
Using in Metal.
Yep.
Right, exactly.
I saw that in Metal and I was like, wow. All right.
Yeah. Scott Snyder loves Grant Morrison as well.
Yes.
He's definitely pulling from Final Crisis and Batman.
Yeah, he had Final Crisis in there for sure, too.
Yeah. And, that book, and the further you get in, the more the darker that book gets. It keeps getting bigger and bigger, and the entity becomes, like, really challenging you. Like, if you stop now, like, it's in the last four pages, like, you can really end it. And it really, it's just, every time I was turning the page, I'm like, I'm such a jerk. This is going to be so bad. And I want to know all of it. You know?
Exactly, yes. and then also, let's talk about his big thing that he did for Marvel, which is New X-Men. Which
he introduced a character I actually really like. He introduced Phantom X.
Phantom X, yep. He's the creator of. And that run, if you've not read that run, we here at the shop, at least, we definitely agree it's one of the best runs of X-Men. Frank Quietly, Ethan Van Sciver.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just... And, again, he did some crazy stuff that people hadn't thought about before, but was that really... smart thinking. Like, why do mutants always have to have extraordinary powers? And when I mean extraordinary, you know, it's like lifting things up.
Blast out of my
eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about a mutant who can bend spoons?
Right.
Not forks.
Just
only
spoons. That's right.
And
he's the one who introduced secondary mutations too.
Yeah, and the secondary mutations. Mm-hmm. Yep, because why, if they're already evolved, why can't they evolve again? And just things like that where he takes concepts and he pushes them to another, for good or bad, he pushes them to a different level.
Yep.
And well, me forgetting this here because it's been so long since I've read New X-Men. he was also the one who offed Jean Grey, and she hasn't really been technically back.
That's where that happened. Wolverine had to stab her before they went into the sun. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And then of course they fast forwarded to the Mark Silvestri run-in, which was whatever. But
he invented a lot of new X-Men characters. Really interesting.
A lot of them aren't around anymore.
A lot of them are not around. But he did the Cuckoos, mm-hmm. and again, that's going to be a awesomely crazy, wacky, well thought out.
Well, he's going to mutated Beast into a more beast like character and took mm-hmm. him back to that original Beast miniseries that was in the what was that? Adventures.
Amazing Adventures.
That's it.
Exactly.
Well, I think that we've spewed our Grant Morrison knowledge as
well. We could always go on.
I think if you're listening to this and any of this intrigues you, I think as a comic book fan, you should at least pick up something Grant Morrison.
Yes.
You should know who that person is in the comic book world and recognize the triumphs he's had in our universe or our medium. Because they're exemplary.
Well, and this we just mentioned a lot of his American releases. We didn't really start getting into his European stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
He's another one of those guys who wrote Judge Dredd and worked on a bunch of different characters in 2000 AD.
He did a couple of issues of Spawn and Hellblazer, and he's been all over the place. But again, like Richie said, most comic book shops, including us, carry his stuff. So if you want to jump in, find one and jump on in.
Ask questions.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, until next time, we will talk to you later, and you can read some more stuff.
Yep. Have a good week, guys.
Later, y'all.
Look up yonder in the sky now. What is that, I pray? It's a bird, it's a plane, it's a man insane. It's my president, LBJ. He's flying high, way up in the sky, just like Superman. But I have got a little piece of kryptonite. Yes, I'll bring it back to land. Said, come out, Lyndon, with your hands held high. Drop your guns, baby, and reach for the sky. I've got you surrounded and you ain't got a chance. Send you back to Texas, make you work on your ranch. Yeah, yeah.